Don't you wish it was that easy in the morning when you get up? Just push a button and you're ready to go. This morning, I want to paint a picture for you. And this picture is not some little cute little portrait. This picture needs a canvas as big as the universe. I mean, I want you to see something this morning that will just knock your spiritual socks off. And when this hit my heart, I'd seen it before, but just the timing for me and what God's Word said, it just was the most tremendous thing for me. So I want you to learn a principle. And there are principles in life that God put into motion before the familiar principles that we might know as laws of physics, you know, principles of life and all the different laws. And this, I believe, now I may be wrong here, but I believe this particular principle was first and foremost and most important. And it's the principle of relationship. Okay, principle of relationship. Now, what does it take to create the heavens and the earth? A lot of laws of physics, astrophysics, all kinds of things, right? To have life living and how they fit together and work, all the laws of biology. Unbelievable what God instituted. But there's a law of relationships, or a principle of relationships, that really stirred everything out. It was the most important principle to get what we know our heaven and the earth rolling today. Okay? So, let's take a look at some of the principles of life. You know, the laws of nature, the laws of physics, and they are important, obviously, right? So I went on the internet to take a look at some of these different principles, all right? Like in biology. Now, biology deals with life, right? Living life. Now, this principle of relationship works in all these different other laws and principles. So in biology, relationships between organisms can be classified into different types based on the nature of interaction, okay? Some of the most common types of relationships include mutualism, commensalism, and parasitism. You think you'd get a lesson here on parasites. There you go. Mutualism. All right, what's mutualism? It's a type of relationship where both organisms benefit the interaction. And an example of that would be the bee and the flower, right? They have this wonderful relationship. And God put this relationship into being. Without the bee, the flowers are not going to multiply. And without the flowers, what are we going to put on our bagels in the morning? Not honey. Not honey. So I'm sure you can think of a lot of examples how life has been interwoven with these relationships that living organisms have together, and they work together. Now this one other one, communalism, which I've never heard of before, but I'm familiar with what they're talking about, is where one organism benefits from the interaction while the other organism is neither harmed or benefits from it. Now, an example of this, and I've seen this, is cattle. Cattle, and you'll see these big white birds, and the cattle will kick up bugs and stuff, and so these birds will follow along and eat the insects, right? So they work together, they interchange. Have you ever seen hippos? Yeah, you love hippos, sure. What are on hippos? These birds. What are they doing on those big old hippos? The parasites, yeah. The interaction, the relationships that go on in life are phenomenal. And without them, things really wouldn't work. Wouldn't work at all. Now, parasitism, do I need to go into that one? That's where one animal takes advantage of another, right? We won't get into that one, okay? But what about physics? What about the laws of physics? Physics describes the relationship between the speed of an object, the distance over which it travels, and the time it takes to travel that distance. I bet you didn't know that, did you? I didn't. So what does that mean? Well, there are many important relations in physics, including the relation between temperature, the relation between work and energy, the relation between velocity and acceleration. In physics, there are two types of quantity-quality relationships, direct and inverse. Now, I know some of this is like, what is he talking about? I didn't come here to get a physics lesson. I'm making a point here, how important relationships are throughout all aspects of life, all right? From the laws of nature, the laws of physics, everything that's around us that makes what we are and what the universe is. What about culture? There's how many, 8 billion people on the face of the earth these days? Culture plays a significant role in shaping relationships. It influences our personal habits, preferences, communication styles. Here are some of the ways that culture can impact relationships. One of them is languages. That's so key, isn't it? If we don't understand the language somebody's speaking, then we can't appreciate what they're trying to say to us. So this is important that we understand languages and relationships are working together via language. Jealousy and possessiveness are common traits in relationships across cultures. Yeah, big time, big time. In some cultures, jealousy is seen as a sign of care and protection, while in others it may be viewed as controlling or insecure. So all these things, again, I'm making a point. I'm trying to make a picture here. I'm painting a picture of how important relationships are, okay? Food. Now, you guys should be excited about this, right? Us men. Food. The relationship of food, how it works. Bob, after Agape Now yesterday, he wanted breakfast. He didn't want a sandwich. He wanted breakfast. So what did we have? Breakfast. Yeah, we had a great time. That was good. So a lot of different things. So you can see virtually everything in life is connected to relationships. Now, let's take a look at the Bible. How about biblical connections and how do relationships play a role in the Bible? All right? So let's take a look. Where should we go first? Where should we start when we look at the Bible? Let's start in Genesis. Sure, Genesis. So God was in the beginning. But who was around with God? Was he by himself? Angels, right? All these angels. And they evidently had some freedom of will because some of them rebelled, didn't they? A third of the angels rebelled. This is how we got Satan. But there were relationships going on right in the beginning. So these angels rebel. So what did God do? Was he done? Was he over? Why not just, oh, okay. No, he wanted a relationship with somebody that could worship him and recognize him. So who did God make? Adam, right? Man, he made man, Adam. And he wanted a relationship. So big, so important. But what about this poor man by himself? Well, he had a relationship with God, but what else did man need? He needed a companion. Yes, a woman, a woman. So relationships, marriage, God set into being life that there would be a man and a woman. And all through life, right? All the animals and critters and things like this, relationships, relationships. And God continued to work with man in spite of his errors, right? And work with Abraham, Jacob, the children of Israel. He had this special relationship with them. Then what did he do? Later on, he gave his son. Now, here he could have a relationship with a son. I think most men would love to have a son. And here, God had a son, but what is he going to use his son for? He's going to sacrifice his son so that he could extend a relationship with man unlike man had ever seen before. And that's pretty neat. God wanted a family. The relationship of God and a family. You can't beat that. That's the purpose of life. Why do we have a heavens and the earth? Why do we have living, death, all this stuff going on? Relationships. And God wanted a relationship, a very special relationship with his man. So let's look at some Bible verses and see what kind of relationships we have with him. Okay, very good. So let's take a look at Romans 8:17. And I think we have these verses will be on the screen for you. So Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Wow, this is quite a relationship, right? A relationship whereby you and I are children of God, we have an heirship, and we share it with who? Jesus Christ. That's huge, isn't it? I mean, that is so huge, I think we that's nice, and we move on and live life. But do we really think about the relationship we have as children of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? What about Galatians 3:28? Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You know, there's so much prejudice in our world today, isn't there? Oh my golly, you know, people trying to live together and have relationships, they're just screwing it up, aren't they? Well, how does God figure this out? With all the different types of people and cultures and things like that, it doesn't matter to God. We are all one in Christ. Oh my gosh. Let's take a look at Galatians 4:6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. He's not in there crying, robot, robot, follow ABC. No, it's a loving relationship of a child and his father. Abba, Father. Can you think of a greater relationship to have? No, no. Phenomenal. You know, there's a verse in Ephesians that I really want to get to. And I'm saving it for the last, though. So you guys are going to have to hold on. I got a couple more verses. So don't go to Ephesians yet. Because there's another verse I want to look at, and then we'll look at this one in Ephesians. This is the verse that really kicked my heart off on the subject of the importance of relationships in the Bible. Okay, what's next here? I think we're Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians 3:9. There's another verse in Ephesians that we'll hit next. That's the one I want to really point out to you. But this one in Ephesians 3:9 says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. How many men see? All men. God's desire that all men see what is the relationship, this fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, if that doesn't tickle your interest there, I don't know what would. A mystery. Before the beginning of the world, it was so vital, so important that God didn't reveal it. He didn't share it with anybody. Wow, pretty neat, huh? A mystery from the beginning of the world that God hid in it. Pretty neat. And part of that mystery, obviously, is we're children of God. We've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. But there's a verse in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Let's go there. Ephesians 1:4. This is the one. I wish I had a band here to play and get you all excited about how exciting and big this verse is. Ephesians 1:4. We're talking about relationships, right? According as He hath chosen us in Him. We're talking about God here. Chosen us in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. Now, how long ago is that? That's a long time ago. That's before all the other laws of nature and everything else that God did, which were very important. But this one thing, this relationship that He could have with man, it was held, it was set up before the foundation of the world, that we, you and I, child of God, would be holy and without blame before Him in love. God saw us before the foundation of the world, that we would be before Him holy and without blame in love. Now, does that make an impact on you? I hope so. Because that means that God thinks you're very important. God says you are vital because I had you in my mind before I started all this stuff. Wow. So our relationship with Him should be wonderful, right? It should be so sweet, so wonderful, because He's called us to be holy and without blame before Him in love, and He set it up before the foundation of the world. Now, is that big? Do you see why I needed this big canvas to paint a picture? Wow. Wow. So this week I want you to remember this wonderful relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. This relationship that started before the foundation of the world, so that before Him, God Almighty, you're holy, you're sanctified, you're special, no blame at all. You're just His, and it's all about the love of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us and having us in the depth of Your heart before things really got started. How special we must be before You. And Father, I pray that we can recognize how beautiful this relationship is, and that we can live each and every day excited to be your child, just like the song we just sang. At our best days, we're your kids, and even in our worst day, we're still child of God. So we love you, Father, and thank you for giving us the privilege to have such a wonderful, loving relationship with you. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.